O Christ, thou Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us and grant us thy peace. Amen. The text of God's precious word for our meditation this evening is recorded in the first general epistle of John, chapter 1, reading from verse 7 through verse 9 as follows. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is our text. In the name of Jesus Christ, the precious ransom of poor, lost, and condemned sinners, beloved fellow watchers with him in his bitter passion. Thus far in our special midweek Lenten meditations, we have examined our redemption by the Lord Jesus from four different aspects. We considered, first of all, its absolute necessity, inasmuch as fallen mankind is incapable of ransoming itself to God. We tallied up its tremendous cost, not in terms of dollars and cents, but in terms of the payment that Christ made, namely his holy precious blood and his innocent suffering and death as the Lamb of God. We noted its substituting value as it satisfied God's justice in the place of the real transgressors of God's holy law. And last Wednesday evening, we marveled at its all-embracing reach as it accomplished the mission on which the Son of God himself was sent down to this wretched, sinful world of ours, namely, to save sinners, of whom each of us must also confess with the Apostle Paul, of whom I am chief. Jesus came to save all sinners, not just those who were elected to come to faith, not just those who eventually did believe and held fast to him even unto the end. He came to die for all, the Bible tells us. Now this evening, we examine another familiar epistle lesson regarding the work of God's Son, Jesus Christ, to buy us back from sin, death, and the devil, and consider the result of our redemption. In order properly to appreciate the blessed result of Christ's sacrifice in our place, we have to understand, first of all, the wretched condition from which he redeemed us. In our world today, which we consider to be so highly sophisticated and advanced technologically, man has virtually eradicated many of the diseases from which, over the thousands of years of this world's existence, untold thousands and even millions of people have routinely died. Medically speaking, we have today less to fear from the ravages of disease than at any time in the world's history. And yet, ironically, we have at the very same time become more fearful. We have become literally obsessed and compulsively paranoid about protecting ourselves from bacterial and viral infection, due in no small part to the appearance of the HIV virus and the incurable disease known as AIDS, as well as a host of other bacteria and viruses that we now know are antibiotic resistant, including the so-called flesh-eating bacteria, which the mere name of it scares people half to death. Just a decade or so ago, surgeons and surgical nurses wore latex gloves and other sterile garb to protect the patient from contamination during operations, so that a secondary infection would not take the life that the surgery was intended to save in the first place. Nowadays, however, gloves and masks and gowns are worn by healthcare professionals primarily to protect themselves from whatever unknown microbes might just be carried about in their patients. And literally every procedure is now regarded as a potentially lethal contact. From such a simple thing as a vaccination or an injection, to a routine examination in the dentist's office. If only the truly lethal virus occupied as much of man's attention as do the potentially lethal ones. I refer, of course, to the virus with which every single human being on the face of the earth is infected from the moment of conception. The virus which multiplies rapidly and knows no medical cure. The virus which causes blindness, deafness, and spiritual retardation. The virus which is literally the silent killer of young and old, of those with medical insurance and without medical insurance, the rich and the poor, the vibrantly healthy and the chronically ill. The virus which, though deadly, is of little concern to most people infected with it. As a matter of fact, the vast majority of people regard its symptoms as completely natural, quite normal, and even quite pleasurable in many cases. And so they resist and even resent diagnosis and treatment. Needless to say, the death toll from this virus is staggering. Now, by this time, you have figured out that the virus of which I speak is sin, the transgression of God's law. All men are conceived and born in sin. Their souls are contaminated with it. They are thoroughly infested with it. They are chronically infected with it. And they are spiritually gangrenous because of it. There is not a just man upon earth, the Bible tells us, that doeth good and sinneth not. they are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And this disease is terminal, according to the judgment of God, who declares, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And yet, by nature, man is totally ignorant of its real cause. Man is completely ignorant of its rapid progression, of its devastating effect and its ultimate termination. Man is literally in the dark about its nature and about its true consequences. And in the verse just preceding our text, the Apostle John says, by inspiration of the Holy Ghost, that those who persist in that ignorance walk in darkness. They lie. They do not the truth. Now, our precious Savior Jesus Christ, on the other hand, came to bear witness unto the truth, he told Pontius Pilate. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. He also described himself as the light of the world, the light who came, as the aged priest Zacharias testified of him, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And here during this Holy Lenten season, as our redemption has unfolded before our very eyes in the passion history of our Lord and Savior, the narrative of his intense suffering and death, and in the epistle lessons we have been considering together in these midweek meditations, the God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness on the first day of creation, that same God hath shined in our hearts, St. Paul writes to the Corinthians, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, to give the light of the knowledge of the wonderful plan of salvation that God in eternity devised to save his creatures in the face of Jesus Christ, for the sake of Jesus Christ's vicarious atonement. Now, by means of his holy law, as by a demanding and indicting mirror, God's Holy Spirit brought us to the knowledge of our sins. He brought us to the knowledge of our complete inability to please God by anything we do. He brought us to a full realization of our wretchedness and unworthiness in the sight of God. He brought us to the acknowledgement of our hopeless lot in eternity, were it not for the redemptive work of Christ. And by the means of the gospel, the good news of our salvation in Christ Jesus, this same Holy Spirit has enlightened us with his precious gifts. That is, he has given us the saving knowledge of Jesus, our Redeemer, so that by God's grace we now trust and believe, rejoice, and take comfort in him. Now, if we walk in the light, the Apostle John writes in our text, as he is in the light, if by faith in the promises of the gospel, by confidence in Christ Jesus as our Redeemer, we lay hold on all the benefits that he purchased and won for us. The forgiveness of our sins, life and everlasting salvation. And if we then continue in his word of light as his true disciples, clinging to the truth that makes us free, free from sin, free from even the thought of death and from the power of the devil, then John says we have fellowship one with another. Fellowship is simply a word that means sharing. We share something priceless with one another as the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And we enjoy together in that fellowship the blessed result of our redemption. Well, what is it exactly? John writes in our text, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. This is not a medical cleansing, as if with a disinfectant, nor is it a vaccination that eradicates disease-causing microorganisms and makes the body well again. For we daily sin much, the Bible tells us, and indeed deserve nothing but punishment. We are so wretched that we cannot help ourselves. We cannot keep from sinning. The good that we would, we do not, St. Paul says, but the evil which we would not, that we do. And with John in our text, he says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But as John writes in the immediately following verse, if we confess our sins, if we penitently cling in faith to the merits of our Savior and despair of any merit or worthiness of our own, and thus we lay hold upon the blessings of redemption that Jesus won for us, then John says, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, the blessed result of our redemption is our justification or forgiveness by God, in which for Jesus' sake, God graciously reconciled the whole world of sinners. Reconciled the ungodly unto himself, not imputing or charging their trespasses unto them. He continues to forgive our sins, and so no longer charges the sins that we commit every day against us. And this he does not without having his perfect justice satisfied, but precisely because his perfect, demanding, unyielding justice was satisfied with the blood payment that atoned for our sins, the blood payment that removed our guilt. And having then brought us by the miracle of conversion through the gospel, through the means of this word of reconciliation, this precious great news of God's forgiveness, having brought us to saving confidence in the merits of our Redeemer, God's own Holy Spirit assures us that it is the cleansing blood of Christ the sacrificial Lamb of God without blemish and without spot, that continues to be the cause of our forgiveness. It is his sacrifice that Jesus continues to plead before the throne of God in heaven, continues to plead as our high priest and intercessor, the payment because of which God daily and richly forgives all sins to me and all believers, we confess in a third article. Thus the Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 3, in summary of this blessed result of our redemption, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That includes you, and that includes me. Being justified, forgiven and made right with God freely by his grace as his pure gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation, a payment of satisfaction in full, through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance, the great patience of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. God grant us, therefore, this blessed result of our redemption, as we cling in humble, childlike confidence to our precious Savior, and by faith continuously plunge ourselves beneath the cleansing stream of his holy precious blood, because of which God reconciled the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, because of which God reconciled us unto himself, not imputing our trespasses unto us, because of which our Heavenly Father no longer looks upon our sins, nor on their account denies our prayer, as we smite upon our breast, saying, O Christ, thou Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us and grant us thy peace. Amen.